Blog Talk Radio.
And now y'all can't actually call in now. So we fixed some things. We're making strides. We're doing well. We're doing well here. This is good stuff. So like I was saying, when you're unemployed involuntarily, when you've been fired, when you've been laid off, when you've been downsized, when you have been let go, when you have had to stop working at a job that you wanted to stay working at, it can work on you. For some people, it's like a feeling of abandonment. It's like a feeling of rejection. Like, what do you mean I can't work here anymore? All of my friends are here. I've even had lovers here. I know this place in and out. This is where I was going to retire. This is what I do. This is my house. Everybody knows that I work here. Everybody associates me with this place. It can happen, especially if you've been working in a place double-digit years or most of your adult life. You know, people, when phone companies started laying people off, it was real tough for a lot of people. Like, I worked at Bell Tel since I was like 18, 19 years old. Like, this is what I do. I work at Bell Tel. Bell Tel turned into Verizon and all of that, and home phones started not to be widely used as they once were. No long distance, no phone stores. Remember, you used to go into the telephone company store. You used to go in there. You had phones that you could rent. I don't know if some of y'all are old enough to remember that. Every phone that used to be in people's houses weren't phones that they owned. A lot of people rented their phone. They paid a monthly fee for that slimline phone. I'm sorry, slimline. Or was it slimline? Was it slimline? You know, the phone that had the buttons on it. The phone before that was the rotary dial. Remember, if you had, there was a time when if you had a push button phone, yo. That meant that you was kind of getting it out here. You was making moves. You was doing major things, baby. Look at you. Look at you. Well, well, well. Impressive. Impressive. Anyway, so when they didn't have phone stores anymore, jobs were lost. Technology has taken away a lot of jobs for some people. They always talk about, well, politicians always talk about job creation, but they don't tell you about the jobs that computers have taken away from people. Manual labor, customer service, by an American, a English-speaking American, things like that have been taken away. So let's say you worked at the telephone company, you worked at Bell Telephone, Bell Atlantic, Bell Pacific, Bell whatever. I don't know if they had like a Bell Midwest or something like that. But anyway, you worked at the phone company for all those years. And when they turned over to Verizon or whatever, maybe they started laying people off or trying to redirect people to jobs that maybe you weren't interested in doing. So you may have gotten lost in the layoffs. You may have gotten phased out. They may have had to pay you, maybe a severance package or something like that, because you had worked there for so long that you had entitlements due to you. So you may have taken some time off, maybe discouraged because you weren't working anymore, or maybe you just needed to chill for a while. Hold on, y'all. Gotta finish doing my thing.
That's dumb, man.
Okay.
We good. We all the way straight now. We all the way straight now. So yeah. So you may have wanted to take some time off to, you know, maybe travel, cool out, or see what it's like not to have a job anymore for a little while. But maybe when you got laid off, maybe when you decided to get back into the workforce or whatever, maybe the workforce wasn't as open or as welcome to you as it once was. Now you've been out of work for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, maybe a whole year, maybe more than a year. And maybe at the time when you started working, it was at a time when you used to just be able to pound the pavement, go down the street to different businesses and fill out applications, get interviews right there on the spot, things like that. Get referrals from your friends that work places or whatever. They could get you in like this just because they work there. Now it's different. Now it's all about a resume, a cover letter, and maybe you don't know how to do all of those things, so now you have to get help. And even with the help that you have, you may need additional help to really learn how to structure your resume, to say the right things, to make yourself look good. And then starting at a new job, that may be really hard for you, even though you're not even at that phase right now because you are unemployed. And you haven't been able to find a job. Maybe you worked in an industry that doesn't really exist anymore. Maybe you know how jobs create positions and then they eliminate those positions that they create. So let's say you came in doing one thing. Let's say you came in as customer service. They have to have customer service in probably every international, national, or global business or whatever. But maybe they switch your title from customer service to customer or public relations or quality control, whatever. Some type of position that wasn't exactly what you were doing before, but it was close to what you were doing before. And you worked in that position for a while. And when they eliminated that position, they also eliminated that position from a lot of other companies too. So you may have forgotten what it was, you know, what the skills were that you had when you crossed over to this new position. Bottom line is the position that you had filled for so many years is gone now. It's absent from a lot of business. Maybe. You were the type of, remember in business classes for years and years and years, they taught you how to type. The first thing they taught you how to do was type. You had to learn how to type. So you're 60 words, 70 words, or superstar 80 words per minute was extremely marketable. Now, don't nobody care if you can type. It's crazy, but they don't. Everything is on a computer now. Everything is duplicated now. Nobody cares if you can type. It's not that type of world anymore. It's just not. We have computers. We have robots. We have all types of things that may have pushed you out of the job market or made you have to get more creative about your market, about promoting your marketability and finding a job. So let's say a year goes by and you're struggling, but you can collect unemployment. There was a time before, I don't know about now, where you could collect unemployment for 1, 2, some people even 3 years. I know somebody who collected unemployment for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Because they originally were denied. And then they had to pay him back all that back money. And so they were still in arbitration, so they couldn't cut him off. 3.5 years. It's one thing if you don't mind being on unemployment for that long. But you have to remember that unemployment only covers 60% of your salary. So whatever you were making, if you were making let's say, $500 a week. Now you're only being paid 60% of that, which would be $300. Now, I don't know if $500 was your take home, but, you know, that can leave you pretty messed up for the time being. And as you're trying to find another job, it might be really tough for you to find one. And that can start working on your ego, your sense of self. If you have children and they're asking you, how come mommy and daddy don't work? Or what do you do for a living? Or how come we can't travel or go out to eat as much as we used to be able to, or do things? Or how come I can't go to Catholic school no more? Why did I have to go to public school? You know, it's a financial hardship. It's a financial hardship. And things like this can lead to a depression. A lot of people don't talk about how what you do for a living and how your job can either add to your depressive state, or it can be the thing that actually helps you. Some people go to work because their home life is so fucked up that going to work is the one thing that makes them feel good. It gives them a sense of accomplishment on a daily basis, a sense of completion on tasks and things like that. It gives them a place where they can feel appreciated for what they do, wanted, happy. You might even have a work spouse, work husband, work wife, or whatever. Maybe you work that long to whereas you have developed even suspect relationships at the job, but that's the place to be for you, work. And you can't find a job now. So in your mind, your kids are looking at you sideways. And don't let you be unmarried and you got a baby mom or a baby dad or whatever. Baby mom. You got a baby mom and she looking at you like, you ain't came through and threw us no money in a while. And you like, well, you know I'm good for it. You know, and I'm doing what I can. But, you know, I haven't been able to find this work and all that. And all that. And she looking at you like, motherfucker, you need to get up off your ass. You got time to smoke weed all day. You got time to play that video game all day. You got time to run around with these bitches all day. You got time to hang out with your friends on the block or whatever it is that you do. Go to strip clubs and all that. How you have money for all of that and you on unemployment or you're not working, but you don't have money to make sure that that your son or your daughter get new shoes or a new dress or some school clothes or Christmas or birthdays or whatever the case may be. You're not contributing like you used to contribute. And your whole thing is, well, but you know, you fronting on me now, but when I was up, when I had it, you always had it. And you ain't never had to ask for nothing. And I was always throwing in extra. Now when a nigga down, when a nigga hurting, when a nigga dead pop, when a nigga struggling, when a nigga knee hurt, I'ma help his damn self. Now you wanna say he ain't shit. You wanna treat me like a deadbeat. You wanna act like I'm not trying. You wanna act like I'm not helping. You wanna be all in my business. It's tough being out of work. See, being out of work hurts your social condition, which is weird when you think about it, because you're thinking like being out of work should only affect your financial condition. But a lot of times your financial condition is directly linked to your financial condition. Well, should I say, did I say the thing? Your financial condition is directly linked to your social condition. Maybe when you was working, you used to do shit like go play golf with your colleagues at work. You know, golf is an expensive sport. You don't just go out to the greens and shoot a round of golf. golf courses have to be maintained, and you know, it's a prestigious sport, an elitist sport, if you would. I don't like golf. I don't appreciate it. I don't like Tiger Woods. I don't like Phil Mickelson. I don't give a shit about nothing about golf. I don't like watching it. I don't think it's cool. I've never wanted to play it. I think it's expensive, and it's a way to keep black people from being able to enjoy certain things that they may. I don't even think it's a good sport. Anyway, but my point is, maybe you used to go golfing every now and then. Maybe you enjoy golfing. You can't afford to play golf on no unemployment salary or being totally unemployed. You can't do it. First of all, I don't know if you know how much golf clubs cost, but they cost a mint. You understand what I'm talking about? And more than likely, if you're playing golf, you're playing golf around somebody, around people who have money. So they pulling up in Benzes and Beamers and high-end Nissans and Toyotas, or should I say Lexuses, and maybe even foreign vehicles and all of that. These are people who play golf don't normally have problems keeping their lights on or heating their house or paying $4 and something for gas. If you have trouble with any of those things, golf is probably not the sport that you should be pursuing. Probably not. You know, that's country club shit. They don't have golf ranges around the way, just like, yo, man, yo, I've been running ball. I ran ball with y'all all week. I'm about to go shoot a few rounds of golf. It ain't like that. It ain't even like that in white neighborhoods. And I mean good white neighborhoods, not just any white neighborhoods. All white neighborhoods are not good, contrary to the belief that a lot of people seem to hold. All white neighborhoods are not good. They're just white. So anyway, bottom line is, now you're not able to enjoy those types of things. So that's affecting your social life. That's adding to your sadness. Being out of work. You don't want to be around your golf buddies and they ask you, hey, so how's the new gig going? You ain't got no new gig. And you ain't trying to talk like that on no golf course. Now, in my mind, it would make sense that, yeah, I should go to the golf course when I'm unemployed because those cats can create opportunities for me. I should be able to go to them and be like, yeah, man, I'm struggling right now. You know, money is starting to get tight or whatever. And I was wondering if you know anybody that can throw me a little something. You know, I'm ready to go back to work. But that's how we probably should address the situation. But that's probably not the way we address the situation. We probably cower in the hole. We want to emerge out of nowhere like, yo, I'm back. I'm back. I'm working. I'm doing good. I just got a new whip. I just paid off the mortgage or I just caught up on my mortgage or whatever. I'm ready. I'm steady. Are you ready? Are you ready? What's going on? When we are out of work, for a lot of people, that's the time when you ask for the least. That's the time where you cease or fail to humble yourself. It has very, very damaging effects on the psyche. Let me shout out my peoples, man. I'm glad y'all waited, man. You know what I mean? I didn't think this show was going to be able to get off, but we in motion now. Freedom and Justice Now, that's my man Rods Price. I don't know if you're still here, but it's good to see you, my brother. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max and chill. And Emily Dunlap in the house, thanks for coming on through. Something like Worst Spouse. Stacey White, yo, coming through tonight, today, and I'm glad you came through. Hey, T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people going right in your sight. And my big sis, Robbie Ming, doing the thing. She's something like a queen for a king. It's no thing. And my brother, and Sel Jones. My brother, and Sel Jones is in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Joe? Shout out to my absentee favorita, Carol Chamberlain. I know you will. Speaking of work, she's somewhere working right now doing a damn thing. But yeah, it would make sense that when we're out of work, that's when we would go to the people who are working, making the most, doing their thing, and see if we could pull out a favor. Yeah. Now, I can see if it was a situation where you got fired from work for misconduct. So it's kind of hard to go to the people that you used to work with, even if y'all still cool, when they know that you used to steal at the job. Like, yo, I can't really put you on to my people's situation over here because, you know, I love you and everything, but you're a thief. You're a crook. You steal from the job. You either steal time or you steal money. You know, you're an embezzler. I can't with a good mind look out for you that way. But if that's not the situation, then it really shouldn't be a problem for you calling in a favor. Like, listen, man, you know how I do. You know how I work. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to get back out there. You know, you think your people that do the damn thing over there, you think they can put me on? I'm going to make you look good for putting me on. Trust me. They're going to love me over there if they give me a shot. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. We don't look at things that way. We want to all of a sudden get the independent black woman syndrome. I don't need nobody. I got my own house. I got my own car. I take care of my own kids. I got my own star. I got my own life. Got my own love. I even got this thing. I even got a toy in my drawer to do what I got to do when I'm on tour. I don't need no man or nobody or nothing from nobody. I'm a hottie and I can do and have whoever I want, but I ain't doing nothing right now, won't front until I get exactly the thing that I want and need, and I think that I won't bleed even 28 days. You get amazed. It's purple haze that I smoke. No joke. I do this thing. Pass the blunt. Yo, joke. I can't afford that purple haze no more. No hydro. Oh, no. Yo. Anyway. So being out of work for a long time, this is what one thing that being out of work for a long time does to you. It humbles the shit out of you. Being out of work for a long time, when it's hard for you to find a job, you start thinking about the real reasons that you're out of a job. You start thinking about the real reasons that things aren't going right for you. You start thinking about what you really did right and what you really did wrong. And it can also start fucking with you in terms of, am I being blackballed? Did my job contact other businesses and tell them not to hire me? All kinds of sense of paranoia can come over you when you are out of work for too long. But one thing is for sure, you probably make a pledge to yourself to do the right thing and jump back in there and don't fuck up the next job that you on. That's for sure. You probably want to make sure that you give it all you got for that next job. But that next job might not be until another 6 months, and you are already on E. You might not have what it takes to run off of these fumes, baby. Off the fumes, baby. So, what the guan? So we're about to start talking about being out of love for a long time. Being out of work can make you feel unwanted. Like, these cats don't even want to They don't even want me to make money for them. And you might not even be the type that understands that all you do when you work is make money for somebody else. You might not even get that memo. You might not get that correlation. You may not have been awakened to that truth. But it's true, 100%. The only reason that jobs hire people is so they can make money for them. Sure, we all know about situations where the boss hired their family or whatever to, and you know, the family didn't have to go to school. They didn't have to work hard. They didn't have to do anything because they were already privileged to be grandfathered in. But even when people hire their family, they make sure that they protect their assets at the same time. Like maybe my family isn't the best person or best people for the job, but we're going to keep this money in-house. And I'm not going to have to worry about nobody stealing money. So it still works out financially for people who grandfather people in or do the legacy thing when it comes to their family. Understand, Underdig? Do you feel me? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or do you know who you're talking to? Do you know that I ain't worked in 6 months, boo? The fuck you talking to? Do you know I can't afford no steak right now? It's gonna be chicken and spaghetti, I'm down. I can't get no wings. They $3.99 a pound, actually $4.99. I ain't seen prices like this. Feel like a clown. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm a broke ass nigga and I ain't coming through your party or your get together, boo. Do you know? Do you get that my pocket's slim? I can't get with you or smoke no blunt with him. I'm feeling like milk that's skim. Actually, that costs too much. All right, let me stop it. But seriously, there's a sense of, you can feel a sense of isolation, loneliness when you are unemployed. You think that people are looking down on you, and some people are. Just keeping it real. Some people are. Make sure that y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I am your host, Sun752, and we are talking about out of work for a long time, out of love for a long time. Yeah, when you are out of work for a long time, sometimes some people straight look down on you. And you know who you might start thinking about as soon as you've been out of work for a long time? You start thinking about the people who don't like you. You start thinking about your enemies, which is only adding to your depressive state. You start thinking like, damn, I was already struggling to beat my enemies, and now they winning, and they know I'm not working. They know I'm broke. They know I'm fucked up. They know I'm dead pop. They know that I'm struggling. They know that I can't go here and there and do this and that, purchase what I want. They know it. Truth of the matter is, some of them may know. Some of them may not know. Some of them may not know. But in your mind, you are so messed up because your whole sense of self and your sense of accomplishment has been obliterated by you not having that job and can't get one. You've been looking. You've been searching. It's discouraging. I remember when I took a job search class back when I was 16 years old. And I remember my teacher teaching us in that class that looking for a job is a job. Searching for a job is a job. Because you have to do work. You have to first get yourself together. There are clothes that you have to wear, uniform, or dress in a certain type of way to make a certain impression. You have to get your interview skills together, say the right things, know what to say. conduct yourself properly. Definitely can't be the type of person that's hot-headed or lose your temper or somebody who is too free when it comes to verbal communication. You have to get your job search materials together. Like I said, resume, cover letter, things like that. You may have to be computer savvy nowadays. It's hard to get a job as a walk-in anymore. Those days are pretty much extinct. But there are a few businesses, like Family Dollar will let you come in and apply for a job on their computer right there in the store. I've seen them do it. Home Depot, too. But nonetheless, there is work that you have to do in order to get a job. You may have to go back to school, get some job training or some educational training or certification. Looking for a job is a job in and of itself. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Y'all hit the like button. Hit the like button. All right. Let me see what y'all talking about. Being out of work for a long time. It hurts, baby. It hurts. No, it says it's a conspiracy, the first. Okay. Y'all must be talking about before I got here on the show. Let me go down to when I was able to get here. I see you when I get there. All right, TK, right, says there is a connection. Oh, there is a connection because there's somewhat of an emotional and mental disconnect that has to happen in order for us to move forward. Okay, Emily, good looking out. I'm moving and sounding fine. Yeah, it looked choppy, a little janky on my end. Thanks for blessing me when I sneeze. Okay, Nars, good looking out. He said, I can hear your chicken frying. Could you really hear it? Dang. Okay. Nara says, it was sweet working in the peak of the industrial age, the 60s through 80s. Yeah. You could literally go down the street and get a job, especially you living in Ohio. You know, all that industry, car industry, coal, whatever. There was a lot of blue collar. You could get paid. You lose one job, go get another job. No blackballing, no sabotage, whatever. You could just, it was like committing a crime and moving away and just starting all over. And so Joe says, certified letters, labels had to be typed. Oh, okay. All right. He said, we had to use a typewriter in my office. Some people was like, I seen this, never use one. Wow, a real live typewriter? Like a straight up and down. That's crazy. Crazy. Hold on, y'all. I hear a car alarm. Let me see what it's in for. Good. That was good. This show is crazy. But we good, though. We all right. We nice. Now, yeah. So hold on, let me read some more of y'all comments. See what we got here. Nara says, I remember getting unemployment was not fun. Helping my sister and husband move to Nevada was so helpful mentally at the time. I ain't gonna lie, I hate collecting unemployment. I've had to do it. Technically, I've had to do it 3 times. The third time is a little janky because it's a little sketchy because I was working, but we were furloughed for 1 week per month during when the first wave of the pandemic came in 2020 and 21. So I had to collect unemployment for 1 week during those times last year. I don't like it, because one thing about unemployment that really bugs me is that you know that you're not working. You also know that you have paid money into unemployment and that you should feel no remorse about collecting. But you know that because you are not directly working, it makes you feel like at any time they can come and stop that check. And sometimes they do. You see, you know, when you collect an unemployment, you see that duration. You, every time you get paid, you see that number, that predetermined number of weeks that you are going to get paid. You see that number go down, 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 down. And you like, if you know the game, you know that all you have to do is reapply when the time goes out. But it's like, it's stressful. It's stressful. You don't want the clock to run down to 3, 2, 1. Like, yo, I got to be working by the time this shit run out, because this is not the move. This, I don't like it. It's scary. It's like you eating and somebody's just going to come and kick the plate over. Like, all right, you finished. No, I'm not. I'm not even full. I just started eating. Well, no, you finished. Come back tomorrow. You might be able to eat then. Okay. Ansel Jones says, some people don't know how to work a GPS. Well, damn. These days? It did used to be a little tricky. You know, there was a time when GPS came out and they didn't even have pictures. They didn't have directional pictures. You had to listen to that bitch. Turn left at, and 1,000 feet, make a right at, you're like, yo, that, because that don't work for me. It don't. That's not what's up. Yeah, the early GPS was something to be desired, baby. Hold on. Speaking of G, yeah, there you go. Right over here. You know what this is? A TomTom. Yeah, I got the original TomTom up in this joint. TomTom. See that? A TomTom. Yeah, you got to blow the dust off of this joint. Whew. A TomTom. And I ain't gonna front. I used this joint for a while, because the phone GPS, you used to have to pay money for that. And what I appreciated about the TomTom at the time was the fact that it showed you exactly where to go. Pictures and all of that. It would be like, yo, get off at this ramp. You missed the ramp, dummy. All right, we're going to go to the next off ramp. We're going to turn your dumb ass around. Redirecting, stupid. Next time, pay attention. How many of y'all have took a road trip and chose no tolls? No tolls on a GPS. And wind up having to take 10 hours to do a 2-hour drive. Let's keep it moving. Shout out to my time. Okay. Is this still turn off? That thing ain't been plugged up in a hot one. That battery would have to be finessed like a motherfucker, boy. But okay. And so Joe says, in foreign countries, people don't go out of their way for American cars. Yeah, not anymore. There was a time, though, that Ford, that Lincoln, that GMC, that Chevy was gold. No, I said, and so I was watching a Korean crime show and noticed that there may have been one Escalade and maybe a Chevy. Wow. And so Jones says, American cars are built for looks, not longevity. They just look nice. Oh, you might be right about the longevity part, but I don't think it was always like that. American cars used to really be built for tough, literally. And you still can't beat American muscle engines. Like, the Mustang engine is what it is. It is. Like, Americans, we bought that horsepower life. That's the one thing Asians ain't into. They ain't about that horsepower. They like, we can find other ways to make these cars go fast. They don't have to be horsepower. Americans, they're like, no. The big vroom engine. Like the hog engine on the Harley. No, it don't just sound fast. This shit goes fast. I like American cars. I really do. Ironically, I don't own one right now. Let's keep it moving. All right. Nar says, yeah, a vehicle with 100,000 plus miles is on its last leg. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You got to know what, I don't know. Let me just say I've been lucky when it comes to that. Ancestor Jones says, American. Okay, wait. Nar says, I remember somebody that was grandfathered into the Anheuser-Busch plant straight out of high school. Used to happen. Anheuser-Busch, that's what I'm talking about. Milwaukee used to have so many breweries. What happened to breweries? And so Jones says, do car dealerships tell customers how much parts and labor is going to be? Hell no. No, it says, after losing privileges to certain recreational activities made me realize that I didn't need those things, let alone any return of investment, okay? People included, okay? Stacey White says, happy Valentine's Day. Valentine's weekend. That's Valentine's, not Valentine. It's Valentine's. Oh, you spelled it right. Happy Valentine's time weekend. Oh, you left? Well, thanks for coming through. Appreciate it. No, it says the GM 350 rocket motor was the shit. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. There are some American engines that just lasted a long time. Like that the 3800 engine. And the one under that is even better. The V6 one is better. The V8 is good. But that V6, that shit will run and run and run. Somebody got that one right. Somebody got it right. I'm talking about the engine that's in the, you know, the Chevy Lumina. All of the V6 GM cars. That should just run and run and run, and it runs well. Good power, good, you know, very good engine. Let's talk about being out of love for a long time. When you've been out of love for a long time And I mean out of love. I don't mean just not being able to find anybody to have sex with. But for a lot of people, being out of love is associated with not being able to have sex. For a lot of people. For those who aren't subscribed to that, it sounds ridiculous. Like, just because you ain't got no girl don't mean that you can't fuck. You can trick. You can still, you know, stick and move as you please and all of that. Sometimes love makes, being out of love for a long time, especially when you've been hungry for love, it can make you feel so empty, so lonely, so unwanted, so worthless, so ineffective and inefficient and inadequate. Being out of love for a while, for a long time, like years and years, let's say you've been out there dating, you've been out there looking for, you know, trying to find the right fit, looking for Mrs. Right, Mr. Right. You've been out there really trying to find somebody who you can have viable companionship with. And you might not be able to find it, and it might be tearing you apart. Especially if you had to leave a relationship that you didn't want to leave in the first place. So let's say somebody broke up with you and you didn't want to break up. Or you broke up because you felt like you had to. Somebody cheated on you. Somebody did you wrong. Maybe somebody hit you or whatever. But you really still love the person, but you felt like you were in a toxic situation and you better make a move quickly. So you made a move. Now, a lot of that time you may spend longing for that person you just broke up with, trying to get back with that person that you broke up with, you know, going back and forth. You know how it is when you break up with somebody that you really don't want to break up with, or break up with somebody that you still have strong feelings for. It can take y'all a while to stop fucking. It can take y'all a while to stop dealing with each other. It can take y'all a while to stop living with each other. It can take y'all a while to stop going places with each other or presenting yourselves as a couple anymore. It can be tough. And you can spend years doing that shit. I've seen people do it. But when it's finally over and now you have to deal with the fact that you have to find somebody else for yourself, you may already be emotionally scarred. You may already be messed up as far as that's concerned. But now you got to deal with trying to find somebody that you mesh with, somebody that you can gel with, somebody that fits where you're going, who you are, what you want, what you like. It can be tough. Especially if you've been looking for commitment and somebody has been dissing you. Like, nah, I don't really want that. That's one of the hardest situations in the world, where somebody wants commitment from you. They're already doing everything that feels like commitment, but they won't concretely say or concretely commit. And that's what you really want. At least that's what you feel like you want. So you're asking them to say yes, and they keep saying no. Like, mm-mm. So in your mind, you may be feeling like, although I love this person, I'm not able to fully love them because I can't fully have them. It's like a mental block. These niggas try to hold me back. 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 These hoes try to hold me back. These hoes try to hold me back. These hoes try. So you're looking for love and you're not able to find it. You've been dating. You've been dating for a female. You've been dating these cats. They acting like clowns. They really don't want nothing but some pussy. And they not even good at getting that. but they don't wanna commit to me. I need love, and they only looking for sex or money or a good time or a place to stay. Mm-mm, you looking for love. And you're not able to find somebody that's on your same mental and emotional plane. You haven't been able to be successful in finding somebody that really, really fits you. You haven't been able to find them yet. And it might be discouraging for you. Or you get to thinking that these bitches only want to nowadays. Nobody wants to now. It's not like, yo, when my grandfather, grandmother was together, my mom and dad, yo, they was together forever. 40, 50, 60 years, through death, do in part, and they knew that from the start that they would be together now, but we are not down. They change how they do things. They don't even look at things, girlfriend, boyfriend. They don't want to court. They don't want to go out no more. Take short is what I would have to do when I'm not down with that shit. I need a boo. I need a boo. I'm a good woman. I cook and clean. I'm a good woman. Got my own money green. I'm a good woman. Take care of responsibilities. I got a lot to see. And I'm a good man. I take my ass to work and I thank Bill. I am real and I am got this to stop the wrong. I need a John to make my bone come to life, and I need somebody that I would really want to call my wife, and I can't just let anybody do that. I'm not the dude that want to screw that chick over there, that one over there, this one under here, above here, right there. I need somebody for myself, and things ain't working out. It's bad for my health, my mental, emotional, make me feel like I can't deal with this shit, and it ain't right. It happens. A month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year. And you are super single. Super single. And I'm gonna tell you like this. But let's say you've been dating around, you know, nothing has seemed to stick yet. You're talking about for a man. And as shallow as this sounds, it can be tough when you fucking these chicks and they still ain't trying to commit. Not fully. What part of the game is that? What part of the game is that? Like, yo, she ain't even feel it. She ain't even fiending for the wood. Like, yo, you might have to face the fact that you got that take it or leave it dick. That's what you working with. You know, most men feel like if nothing will get me in, if I can get them draws down, definitely make a strong case for myself. If I can get them draws down, off, I can make a strong case for myself. But you might have that take it or leave it dick. And that take it or leave it dick is very humbling, I would imagine. I can't even fuck these chicks into submission. I can't bone them back to life. Hey, shit is rad. I ain't talking about your size or whatever, it's your sex game. You have been failing to bring the come out. You've been failing to bring the come out, and you know you have. You know you've been falling a little short. Like she was almost there. But how is that consistent with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Every woman you get, she's not impressed by your sex game. Now, other things, you have other redeeming qualities, of course. But evidently, those aren't good enough either. Because she ain't clamoring to be with you. She's not even making that request. Not being able to find love is a lonely state, baby. It's a very, very lonely state. It's a very humbling experience. It's a very frustrating thing. My man, Job Biggs, thanks for coming through, kid. I'm always glad you did. For real. Yeah, because you can start being discouraged to the point where you think that this might be your fate. You know, you can get discouraged to the point where you start thinking like, yo, I'm going to die alone. I'm going to die without having somebody to grow old with. Oh, yeah, it goes there. It goes there for a lot of people. It goes right there for a lot of people. Ain't nobody out there for me. Nara says, it's humbling when you miss getting carpet burns. Yeah, it is. There aren't too many things in life that are worse than wanting to have sex and not being able to. It's not the end of the world. By any means, it's not the end of the world, but it's a very humbling experience. One that I wouldn't really wish on anybody. So not finding love, though, not finding love can also mean not finding sex. And it can mean not being able to find comfortability, stability. There are familial implications that are involved in this. So somebody might ask you a question like, what happened in your last relationship? Or how long has it been since you've been in a serious relationship or committed relationship? And your answer is like 4 or 5 years. Not that you haven't had sex with anybody in that long, but for some people, yeah, I've known women who were celibate for double-digit years, and they still going. And I'm like, God damn. And a lot of reasons that I think for that are that they've lost their faith in love. They've lost their faith that love will come to visit them. They have no reason to believe that their situation is going to improve as far as having somebody that they really, really care about and who really, really cares about them on their side. Like I said, I've known women who have been celibate for almost 20 years. If the one person that I'm thinking about is still celibate, it's been 20 years, maybe 20 plus, because she was 13 in 2000 and either 13 or 14. She was 13 in then. Wasn't ugly. Wasn't undesirable, worked every day, no faith that love would be on her side or anywhere near her anymore. And that's crazy. But it happens. It happens. The fact she just turned 60 years old recently. Just turned 60 years old. Yeah. Yeah. So, when it comes to being out of work for a long time and being out of love for a long time, they have a lot of the same ingredients. Feeling a lot of the same ingredients as far as sometimes the way they play out. You may have had to leave those situations when you didn't want to. You may have found it very hard to mentally leave those situations. You may have had a hard time starting all over. You may have had a hard time finding somebody else or something else to occupy your time. You may have lost faith in believing that you would get back to that state where you feel wanted again, appreciated again, relevant again, accomplished again. And both situations can make you feel like somebody else or something else is in control besides you. And I don't mean that in no good way. You know, it's funny because in love, people will say things like, well, I'll wait until God sends me the right way. But when it comes to your financial situation, when it comes to your employment, you can't look at it that way. Like, I'll just stay out here and not work until the good Lord decides that this job is exactly what I need. You see, you ain't got time to play them kind of games. You ain't got time to play them kind of games because you ain't got to fuck or love, but you got to work because you got to eat. It's not that much of a choice. And this ain't hard to understand. It's not hard to understand at all. So, yeah, out of work for a long time, out of love for a long time. Queen Monica. What's going on, Queen Monica? On the Instagram side, good to see me, some of you. I'm always glad that you came on through. Nara says, it's a lonesome feat when yearning for kindred spirits. Companionship, man. Personally, I believe that your man or your woman should be your best friend. Because you're definitely going to share things with them that you're not going to share with just anybody. They're definitely going to get to know you in ways that nobody else would ever be privy to. There's no way around that. Being out of work for a long time makes you feel like starting over is pretty much an impossibility. Being out of love for a long time makes you feel the same way. There ain't nobody out here for me that I found. The only thing these niggas want to do is this. They don't want to give that. They don't want to be this. All these chicks out here, all they want, they don't want no good man. They want some thug-ass nigga with his pants hanging off his ass and selling weed and getting high all the time and going back and forth to jail. Them cats are winning. And that's the thing about being out of work for a long time or being out of love for a long time. Both of those things can make you start hating. They can really make you start hating. And you don't mean to. But you see other couples, you start auditing their unification or their relationship. They ain't really happy. They don't really blah, 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 blah. They only doing it because blah, 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 blah. They only together for the kids, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, you ain't got nothing. You hating on the sidelines, and now you talking shit about other people that's trying to keep it together. But it's not easy. It's not always easy to find somebody that meshes well with your personality, your outlook on life, and your physical actions. It's not always easy. So being out of love and being out of work for a long time, depending on how long either of them go, it can lead to a very, very sad or depressive state. So you got to check on your peoples, man. Real shit. Check on your peoples. And sometimes when it comes to being out of work, just having money is not the thing that does it for you. You may miss going to work. You may miss being able to say what your job title is. This is what I do for a living. And that will allow you, for some, to stick your chest out, poke your chest out. Yeah, I'm a welder. Yeah, I'm a mechanic. Yeah, I'm a store owner. I work at the DMV. Let's do these birthday shout-outs, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious February 12th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them. Make us feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. Guess who? It's my mama, Rosie Blue. What are you doing here? Boy. Let me see. Hold on. My mom, Rosie Blue, is turning 81 years old today. And I love her so, so much. She's my first example of what a woman should be. Definitely my first example and only example of what a mother should be. But yeah, I'm going to say happy birthday. Happy 81st birthday to you, mama. And also my big sister, Darby Dita McIntyre Guy. Happy birthday to you. So they were both born on the same day. It's a good look. Sometimes it's a confusing look, but it's a good look. So I want to say happy birthday to both of you. Love y'all to death. Resuscitate both of y'all and love you right back to life. And also, Shy Rose Jamal, happy birthday to you, Shy Rose. And Carla Doss, go get it. Carla Doss turning 56 years old today. And Shawnee D. Johnson, happy birthday to you. And Renee Artis, happy birthday to you. And Stephanie, Janika, Florival, Georges, happy birthday to you. And Rosanna Garcia, turning 28 years old today. And Veronica Phillips, turning 57 years old today. And Nabrilwa Esther, turning 37 years old today. And Robin Henry, happy birthday to you. And Carolyn La Patrona Rodriguez, turning 33 years old today. And James Jones, turning 47 years old today. And Uriel Charles, happy birthday to you. And Cassandra Perkins, turning 54 years old today. And Vinia Cooper, turning 55 years old today. I want to say, happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. February 12th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. The damn. The rock out. Rock on it. The damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard. Go for yours. And remember, man, listen. Check it out. Peace, gang, yo. Yo, being out of work for a long time, being out of love for a long time can definitely work on your emotional stability. It can work on your sense of self. It can work on your depression. It can work on your paranoia. It can work on your good feelings about life, love, and happiness. But just know, that nothing in life is 100% permanent. Things may be hard for right now. You may be going through a really tough time. Just remember that there's a lesson in everything that ever happens to you, and you can climb out of that situation or be brought out of that situation if you give yourself a chance and give someone else a chance. That's for love, and that's for work. I want to say peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow for another Urban Therapy with Sun Show, 11 a.m. So I want y'all to have a great day. No exceptions. Get live, baby. All right, so for my blog talkers, let me get you out of here. I see y'all a little bit later in the year. And for my Instagrammers, Five Slammer Jammer, thanks for coming on through and let me exercise my grammar. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. And thank y'all for being